There's a story told about a Sunday school teacher who was teaching her class about the importance of forgiveness. She taught them about where it was mentioned in the Bible, about why it's important for us to do it, and she even gave some tips about how to go about doing it. So in order to make sure her students had heard her lesson, she asked the class, "Who can tell me the first thing that we must do to obtain forgiveness from our sins?" And the classroom was quiet. Finally, little Bobby raised his hand and said, "In order for us to obtain forgiveness from our sins, we must first sin." Well, little Bobby's right. And most of us, or I should say, I'll speak for myself, are pretty good at the sinning part. The part that we're always not so good at, though, is the forgiveness part. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I'm using Luke 15, the 11th through 32nd verse. It's the story of the prodigal son, a familiar story, I hope, to all of you. It's actually part of a larger text in Luke 15 where three stories are told consecutively. It's the story of the lost coin, the story of the lost sheep, and the story of the lost son. In fact, it's one of the only places in all the New Testament when Jesus is teaching that he puts three stories together consecutively like this. And the reason that I think he does this, and many believe that he does this, is because he's really, really, really trying to make a point. And the point is an answer to a question that's asked to him. And the question that's asked to him is, who matters most to God? And so he tells the story of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son to remind us that it is the lost who often most stirs the heart of God. So a familiar story. In fact, I'm going to ask you this morning to help remember this story with me. Remember, it's a story about a son who goes to his father and says what? Yeah, give me my inheritance, or give me an inheritance, which is a little unusual. Most inheritances seem to occur after people have passed, but nonetheless, this is what the son does. And what does the father do in response to that? He gives it to him. Yeah, he gives him a third of his wealth. We don't know exactly how much that was at that time, but he gives it to him. And so the son takes it, and he leaves, and what does he do with it? He squanders it. Yeah, he squanders it. We don't know exactly what that means. We don't know if he bought a lot of stuff on eBay. we don't know if he got into some bad stock. It's suggested in our scriptures that it probably wasn't done in really good living, but he loses it. And eventually, after he loses it all, what happens? Yeah, he thinks about coming home. In fact, things get so bad. Remember the scriptures say about him being in a pig pen. And he's so destitute, so down and out, that actually the food of the pig looks good. And a very important phrase in that scripture you want to pay attention to, he says, "And he came unto himself." Okay? I don't know if you've had ever some come unto yourself moments in life. I have. But he kind of figured out that he was not where he needed to be, and he knew where he needed to go. And so he decides to go home, back to that father who gave him the inheritance. And again, what do we know happens when he comes home? What's the father's reaction to him when he sees him? Yeah, he runs to him. He's overjoyed at seeing him. He doesn't see him far away and go, "All right, I see him. Guess I'll just wait here till he gets to me." He actually runs to the son. And that's a wonderful image that we need to always keep in mind about the nature of who God is. That we have a God that runs to us every time we turn, every time we go wayward, every time we come unto ourselves. We have a God who's a persistent pursuer of us. So it's a wonderful scripture, wonderful imagery that we need to use to help us understand God and in our relationship with God. There's also a story referenced. I use Genesis 50 also as a forgiveness story. That's the story of Joseph. And you're probably familiar with that story as well. Joseph had some siblings. I know you all have perfect siblings, but Joseph had some siblings who weren't so great, did some not so nice things to him, and despite all of that, he decided to forgive them. So our Bible has wonderful images like this about forgiveness. In fact, there's about 100 scripture references in our Old and New Testament to the topic of forgiveness. These great stories, these great images, like in Luke 15 and in Genesis 50. But I think as wonderful as these images and stories are, they're also sometimes a little bit confusing and maybe even a little bit troubling. And the reason is because I think it makes forgiveness look like it's easy. And if it is for you, good. I'm glad for you. My experience is that for most of us, though, and for me in particular, it isn't something that's easy. You know, let's think again about Luke 15. This father has given this son a third of everything. And this is where I wish we could reach into the scripture and pull out more detail. Because I'm not sure about you, but I just imagine them sitting at that banquet. And at some point, the father leans over to the son and goes, "It's all gone." "Do you understand how much you worried me? And I'm not even going to tell you how much you worried your mom." So we don't get that kind of part of the story, do we? Or we don't get anything that helps us understand what is it that the father did that allowed him to be in a place so that when he saw his son, he was able to run to him. So I think in the church, the good news is that we teach and preach forgiveness, or the good news is that we preach forgiveness. The bad news is that we often don't teach forgiveness. And what I want to do this morning is just offer you some information that I hope will help you understand forgiveness in a little bit different way, and at best will help forgiveness become something that's a little more accessible to you, something that feels a little bit more within your reach. So here's five things I want you to think about that maybe might help you that I think we often get wrong or don't understand about forgiveness. The first is that it's an event. Or I'm sorry, it's not an event. It's a process. In the story of Luke 15, again, the image is it's an event. It just happens. And while I don't want to, you know, disagree that maybe that's happened in your life, you've been just overwhelmed and able to automatically forgive, more often than not, forgiveness is a process. It takes time. It can, in some cases, even take years and years. It's also not something that's easy, as I said. It's difficult. Choosing to forgive, learning how to forgive, is not for the faint of heart. It's a hard thing to do. I say sometimes when I'm working with people that probably next to losing a child, which I could only imagine is one of the most difficult things in life, number two in line is probably choosing and learning how to forgive. So it's a process. If you're feeling that you're struggling, it's because maybe you're trying to see it as just an event. It takes time. The second thing is to understand that there are different kinds of forgiveness. I'm going to talk this morning mostly about forgiving another for something that they've done to us. But there's also relational forgiveness. When someone's done something to us and we've done something in return, and we both go through a process of choosing to forgive. There's also the most difficult, often, kind of forgiveness, and that's self-forgiveness. When we've done something that we just know is wrong, and we need to seek forgiveness for that. One of the other things that makes it difficult in these different types is the relationship that we have with the person who's committed the offense. The more distant that relationship is, the less the frequency of the event, the easier, still not easy, but the easier it is to forgive. When it's someone in our life who we continually interact with and have to interact with, and they continue to do that same thing, that's a very, very hard type of forgiveness. So understand there's different types and different degrees of ease and difficulty. Number three, it's important, it might help you to remember that forgiveness is for us. It's not for the other. In fact, when we choose not to forgive, what we often do is create something called a grievance story. It's a story about the awful, terrible thing, and it may have been that this person did, and how we'll never, ever, 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 ever recover from it. And when we repeat that story to ourselves, and sometimes even to others, the person who's hurting is not that person who committed the offense. The person who's hurting is us. Because it's our blood pressure that's going up. It's the cortisol that's going through our system. The American Heart Association now lists anger as a risk factor for heart disease. And it's not that having occasional anger is bad. I think we all can say we probably have a little bit of that. But when we have too much anger for too long, and we repeat it to ourselves, that's the stuff that can kill. The other thing I don't think we always understand about forgiveness is just what it is or what it isn't. When we choose to forgive, we're not excusing another for what they did. We're not condoning the act that they committed. We're not ignoring, we're not minimizing, we're not pardoning. There are still consequences for actions, and people should be held accountable for those. I also believe that if we choose to forgive, it does not necessarily require reconciliation. And as I began to study and learn about forgiveness, that was a really important one for me. It was a real stumbling block. If I was going to forgive someone, especially someone close maybe, and I did not want to be in relationship with them, it was going to be hard for me to do that if I was going to be required to reconcile. Now, I will say, I believe that in a perfect world, that's God's hope for us, that we do indeed find a way to reconcile. But in some cases, it's not appropriate. And in some cases, it's not safe. So we're not excusing what happened to us. We're not condoning. We're not ignoring. We're not pardoning. We're not letting them off the hook. We're letting ourselves off the hook. And then the last one, and this is really important, is that we need to understand that when we forgive, that we're practicing a skill. That forgiveness is a skill. That's the great news. If it's a skill, it's something we all can learn and improve at. You know, so just like the skill of driving a car, or the skill of making certain kinds of food, it is a skill. The problem again, though, is that because we don't fully understand it, we sometimes think it does look kind of easy. Let me give you an example of that. Come here, Andy. You said you were glad to be here. We'll see. Andy's going to show you how easy a skill is, okay? Have you ever seen someone juggle before?
Sure.
Sure, okay. Great. Here you go. Go ahead and juggle. Okay, all right. Well, so stay here. All right. So I'm going to show you, because I'm going to make it easier. Okay. So here, this is all you got to do. Okay. So there you go. Now you got an example.
I'll let you keep.
you can sit down.
I'm juggling enough.
But I would use that as an example. Okay, we maybe saw somebody. Of course, we know juggling's not that easy, but we look at forgiveness and we think it's easy, and it's not. It's not. It's about as easy as picking up three juggling bags when you've never juggled before and trying to juggle. But do you know how you juggle? You juggle by learning how to juggle one. Okay? Here's my quick crash course in juggling. You imagine a box. See the box? And you go one to the other. And that's what you do. And you practice that. And you practice that. Okay? That's step one. So here's step one of a journey of forgiveness. We need to understand that it's hard to forgive because we've been told it's supposed to be easy. We have to understand that it's hard to forgive because we've been told it's supposed to be easy. And we got to remember, we've been influenced by lots of things throughout life that sometimes we find as we become adults and we get older just simply aren't always true. For example, the Pledge of Allegiance. I love the Pledge of Allegiance. I suspect all of you do as well. I'm so glad we continue to say it every morning in school. But there's a part of the Pledge of Allegiance at the very end where we, you know, I think hand over heart, say, and there's liberty and justice for all. Is there liberty and justice for all? No, not always. There should be. I wish there were, but the reality is that there's not always liberty and justice for all. We're raised to obey the golden rule, which is do unto others as... Is that the way life always works? When we do unto others, do others always do unto us? No, they don't. It's still a great principle. I choose to live that way. I'm sure you do too. But we want life to be fair. And that gets in our way sometimes with forgiveness, is our sense of fairness. You see, when we get hurt, when someone does something to us, we want them to feel the hurt that we're experiencing. We want them to feel bad. We want them to feel sorry for us. We want to, a lot of times, for them to make amends, to want to make it right because of what happened to us. But what's the truth? The truth is, a lot of times, they've probably gone on with their lives. In fact, in some cases, they don't even agree that what it is that we're upset about, what we've been injured over, is something even that we should be injured over. So when we fail to forgive, it's like we're drinking poison that's meant for somebody else. And I suspect that none of us would probably do that. Or let me give you another less glamorous image. When we fail to forgive, when there's that person who's done that thing, and I'm still I still have that grievance story, what I am doing, what you are doing in a sense, is you are handcuffing them to you. And we're taking them with us everywhere that we go. The second part of how to juggle, okay? We got the one down, right? We're doing that. Now we go one up and one under, okay? That's how you learn to juggle. One, two. You just juggle two. And you do that, and you practice that, okay? So that's step two. Step two of forgiveness is understanding the fact that while something's happened to us, and it's been painful, it's been unfair, it's been wrong, that we are creating a memory about that based on how we choose to think about it. Let me say that again. We create our memories. I know you don't like that. I know we like to say, oh, I'm just remembering what happened. And yes, you are. But we're putting a flavor on that. We're putting a spin on that. We're deciding what it is that we're going to pay attention to, and we're deciding what it is that we're not going to pay attention to. So the best example I can give you is if somebody's taken a trip recently, and they want to tell you about that trip, what we tend to want is just a summary, right? You know, if I'm going to take a trip, I doubt you want to know how much time I wondered about what kind of luggage to take, how many pairs of underwear I, you know, packed, you know, what route I drove. That's a little bit too much information, I would guess, for most of us. But you do want to know about the trip. And I would say that most trips have some pretty good aspects and some not so good aspects. And so dependent upon the story I choose to tell you, I'm going to tell you about a wonderful trip, a kind of so-so trip, or a really bad trip. So again, we need to understand that memories are created, and we have some role in that. Once you can do two, you can juggle, because now all you're doing is keeping it going. Under, 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 under. I have been practicing. The last thing I want you to remember this morning about forgiveness is that we have the power to rewrite our stories. We can take those grievance stories and we can make them into forgiveness stories. Is what happened to us the most terrible, awful, life-defining, tragic event that ever happened that we'll never recover from? Or is it something tragic that happened, but yet despite it, we're going to find a way to make it make us stronger? And we're going to be on the lookout for ways that maybe God will put people in our path that we can share how God worked with us and through us to overcome that event as a way to reach them for the kingdom. So I want to give you a new definition, a different definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness is the process of reframing one's anger and hurt from the past with the goal of recovering one's peace in the present and revitalizing one's purpose and hopes for the future. That comes from Reverend Dr. Dick Tibbetts. He has written a book called Forgive to Live. I've got a copy of it here if any of you want to take a look at it, and a couple of other books as well. That's the other great news, friends. I said it was a skill. There's a lot of good material out there that helps us learn about this skill of forgiveness. So we can say, I haven't forgiven, but guess what? That really just points a finger in many ways back at ourselves. I respect I'm in the process of forgiving. That's fair. Okay. But why are we choosing not to forgive? It may be because of these things I've talked about this morning. I want to read a quote to you. I chose to forgive them because to choose not to only contaminates the container. I chose to forgive them because to not do so only contaminates the container. That was a quote spoken by Reuben Hurricane Carter. Now, if you don't know who Reuben Hurricane Carter is, he was a man who was sentenced to prison for 19 years for a crime he did not commit. He was a famous boxer, and in the day he had some folks, especially on the police department, who were envious of his success, and they literally made up charges against him that landed him in prison. And his movie, if you're interested, if you have Netflix, is called The Hurricane. Denzel Washington's in it, so you have to watch Denzel. But I would recommend that movie to you. It's a great model of forgiveness. So the question is, do we want to continue to contaminate these containers? Or do we want to learn how we can choose to forgive, knowing that it's hard? It's a process. We've got to rework some things. We've got to understand we're not ignoring, we're not excusing, but to know also that it's a skill that maybe you just never understood how to do. Amen.